Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, September 9th, 2015, and the sun is shining here in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful early autumn day. I mean, I'll just say this. It's going to come up on September 21st. It'll be the first day of autumn, but actually, that's the middle of autumn. Autumn actually starts somewhere in the middle of August as the sun changes angle and the days start getting shorter and cooler, and then you get this midpoint, and it's the difference between looking at nature and looking at our civil calendar, which doesn't have anything to do with nature at all. But I like to be connected with nature, so I look at time by the solstices and the equinoxes. And so we're moving towards that autumn equinox where the days are equal, and then the nights will start being longer than the days. And I just think it's a lovely way to look at time. So I'm very aware of the angle being different of the sun now, and that it gets dark here in Florida around 6 o'clock now instead of 9 o'clock, and it makes a big difference. Anyway, that's not the subject of the show, but I just like to talk about that. Today we're going to be actually talking about your heart and some hidden dangers that can be affected in your heart that you might not be aware of. My guest is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Hi, Pamela.
To be here.
Thank you. I'm happy that you're here too. I think we just need to keep saying over and over again that that drugs are really designed to alleviate symptoms and not to cure the underlying thing that's happening. And so I think what we're going to be talking about today are some of those things that your doctor probably will never tell you and may not even know. But these are things that we can be paying attention to on a daily basis as we have awareness of what's going on in our own bodies and things that we can be doing day to day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good. So where would you like to start?
Well, I did a Medline search, and we were talking about like hidden dangers and what are some things that, you know, we should be doing or shouldn't be doing that affect our heart. And so this is really current published information that's really, actually I only went back 6 months. So whatever's been currently published, this is what we're seeing as far as the data. And what I thought was very interesting is that inflammation, okay, chronic inflammation is definitely associated with cardiovascular disease. We know this, and the reason why it's associated with cardiovascular disease is it's not just the myocardium or the heart itself as far as infarction, but it can lead to unstable angina. It can lead to sudden cardiac death, stroke, and peripheral thrombosis. And what that peripheral thrombosis is clots that lodge and which causes what's called the deep vein thrombosis. So these are all directly related to the inflammatory processes in the body. So treating inflammation...
Yeah, okay, let's talk about inflammation. Could you explain, because we hear this word a lot, so could you explain exactly what inflammation is, and let's talk about what to do for inflammation, because I think that regardless of what the illness that somebody might have or their condition, I think a lot of people in the world today have inflammation.
By far, and the best way to look for inflammation is if you're going to the doctor to have them do a CRP in the bloodstream and check to see if that is related to inflammatory processes that are going on in your body. A lot of times you have two different scenarios. You have the camp where the people are actually sore and they have arthritis and they're sore and they feel sore every day, and so that inflammation they're aware of. The more dangerous inflammation perhaps is silent inflammation you're not aware of, you don't feel, but because it's an ongoing and it's a chronic process, what it's doing eventually is it's taking the endothelium, which is the inside of the blood vessels, and it's allowing plaque and other things, sticky substances, to affect, especially cholesterol. That's why cholesterol has always gotten such a bad name, but really it's not all about cholesterol. Half the people with heart attacks, their cholesterol is in the normal range. So it's not about, cholesterol is not the demon here. It's untreated inflammation. If you don't have the inflammation present, the cholesterol can be high, but it won't really affect the endothelium or the inside lining.
So then what can we do, since this is related to the heart, what can we do to treat inflammation? Easy things we can do every day.
Well, some easy things, believe it or not, is avoiding certain foods that contain a lot of arachidonic acid. Now, this doesn't mean for everybody, but this is pretty true in the general consensus, that foods with a lot of arachidonic acid, and arachidonic acid is an inflammatory component that's in foods. Egg yolks, red meat, and peanuts tend to have the most arachidonic acid of any foods. And I'm not saying you have to cut those out forever, but those particular foods definitely raise inflammation in a lot of individuals.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Yes. So excluding those is extremely important. I would tell you, too, there is data that shows that dairy is very inflammatory towards a lot of people as well. And I'm not saying to go on crazy, you know, elimination diets, but try 2 or 3 days without any dairy and see if inflammation, if you have actual physical inflammation that you feel, if it goes down. Because I've seen this with some of my clients quite extensively, that people have dairy allergies, and dairy allergies will show up as low-grade arthritis. And that's the first symptom that normally will have it. People will feel like they're just a little bit sore and achy, and they'll just think that maybe they're getting a little bit older, maybe they overworked out. And just doing a food elimination of just the dairy for several days, and like I said, the red meat, the egg yolks, and the peanuts, those eliminating those foods for just a few days and seeing if you're feeling better, that makes a huge difference as far as your diagnostics.
Good.
I would also say I'm a big fan of something called Tremile. Tremile, they call it tea relief now, but it's got arnica and it's got a bunch of other different plants in it that are anti-inflammatory. It's very inexpensive. And when you use this, it not only lowers inflammation in the body, but it actually repairs little tears in the tendons and in the tissue where you actually maybe have been injured, maybe you did too much yard work, maybe you did too much at the gym, lifted things too heavy. That has a really high anti-inflammatory component that's very, very effective. And don't forget fish oil. I mean, I can just talk an hour in fish oil, but omega-3
and,
fish oil.
And you have. Actually, yes. I should just remind everybody that you can listen to all of the past shows, including all of the shows that Pamela has done, including her show on fish oils, by going to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and they're all there. And you know, Pamela, the other day I looked, and we've done more than 20 shows.
Just oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so there's a lot of information there. If you just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, there's a link in the menu that says listen to the archive shows. And if you pull down, there's a submenu, and Pamela's name is right there. And you can just click on that, and it'll take you to all of Pamela's shows.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So the omega-3 fatty acids, the newest data that came out, shows that omega-3 fatty acids and the consumption reduce cardiovascular disease, and we knew this, especially the risk. But what it does is it provides a reduction in arterial stiffness, okay? So the actual endothelium of the arteries, it changes their physical constituent properties, okay? And what happens is when the stiffness is reduced, it allows for the flexibility of the blood vessel and the endothelium, the general health of the endothelium is greatly enhanced. And this improves the vascular function. So this actually works on a molecular, cellular, and physiological pathway. It affects all three different functions in the cell itself, which is pretty interesting. We know that omega-3s, not just their anti-inflammatory properties, but they turn on 300 different genes in the body. So when we talk about the arterial wall, they actually can see, and this is brand new data, that the beneficial effects are impact, get this, arterial wall remodeling. So the arterial wall and the endothelium of these vessels, these blood vessels around your heart and in your whole body, they actually physically look different after a person's been taking omega-3s. They incorporate into the cells of the vasculature, and they actually find arterial wall remodeling. It looks different, and this is after less than 3 weeks. So it's a huge, huge impact. And so now we know, you know, what is actually happening. And we don't forget, too, I don't know if your listeners remember some of the omega-3 facts, but it has anti-inflammatory activity, but it also has anti-arrhythmic activity. So somebody that has cardiac arrhythmias and they're not well controlled on their medications, this can also have a great effect.
That's great. I love it that a lot of these substances have multiple benefits, not just one. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Pamela Seafelt. She's a registered pharmacist who also practices pharmacognosy, which is a wonderful field of using plants and other natural substances. Pharmacognosy meaning drugs with information, substances with information. So we'll be back after the break and talk more with Pamela about how you can protect your heart from hidden dangers. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt, registered pharmacist and also practitioner of pharmacognosy, which is the use of plants as medicine. Pamela, before we go on, why don't you tell us about what you do and give your phone number?
Okay, great. So my background is clinical pharmacy, but I also study pharmacognosy at the University of Florida. And pharmacognosy, of course, we were describing, is plant medicine. It's a little bit more than herbalism, talking about the medicinal properties of different plants and how they work in the body. And I have my pharmacy here in Clearwater, Florida, and I would be very honored to help your family. It's a free consultation. If you have any questions about medications you're on, if you want to get off of them, or if you're also interested in using some homeopathic medicines to treat chronic illness, maybe you have MS or heart disease or some of the other things we were talking about, diabetes, and you don't want to be on your medications, I can gladly help you with that. And you can call me here at my pharmacy. It's 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955, and we use homeopathic medications instead of drugs.
Okay, good. Now, before we go on, I just have one more question about inflammation, and that is, so inflammation has to do with blood vessels and what's happening with them. So if one has inflammation in their body, then wouldn't that affect the functioning of every organ?
Correct. And also, too, it's really important, you know, a lot of people are, you know, we've done shows on weight and weight loss and trying to lose weight, and it's really hard because when women start, you know, especially men and women, but when they start reaching, you know, the 40s and 50s and 60s and so forth, it's really hard to lose weight. You gain weight very easily with not much caloric change, and we know for a fact that if there's inflammation in the body, okay, that's untreated, and it's you know, circulating, so to speak, we have something called circulating cytokines, which are these interleukins, these chemical messengers that the fat actually produces. So that's why you see, that's one of the reasons you see more cardiovascular disease in people that are overweight. And the reason why is because their own fat is producing interleukins that are even more pro-inflammatory and cause more weight gain and cause more inflammation to the blood vessels. So the subcutaneous fat, and especially the visceral fat in the abdomen, is highly problematic because it's actually producing more of these inflammatory messengers that are making the person's health even decline even faster. And this is the problem. Your body's actually working against itself.
So I understand what you just said. So I think what I'm trying to like put two and two together here around is that we have inflammation, and then we have organs of the detox system like liver and kidneys and lungs. And if one has inflammation in their body, that would inhibit the functioning of their detox organs.
Well, correct, because the inflammation, what it's doing is it's actually working against itself. You're having the body producing more inflammatory components. And the blood vessel inflammation, I mean, we're always talking about the heart today, but this inflammation in this endothelium, the change in the endothelium, when there are, you know, interleukins and components that are pro-inflammatory, the changes in the endothelium are robust and very negative, and they're affecting the blood vessels, especially going even into the kidney. And what they're finding, and this is actually interesting in one of the studies I was pulling, that there's a system in the kidneys, okay, and as pharmacists, we know about this quite well. There's something called renin-angiotensin system, okay? The renin-angiotensin system is associated with the kidney, and it controls blood pressure, okay? And this is why when people have pre-dialysis or dialysis or have kidney disease, why they have to be on what's called converting enzyme inhibitors or ACE inhibitors, okay? They have to be on these medicines that affect the renin-angiotensin system, because when people's kidneys are not functioning properly, this system goes awry, and what happens is blood pressure goes up. So that's why you see a lot of people on dialysis or have kidney problems. They're all on blood pressure medicine. That's why the blood pressure goes high.
Oh.
It's not because they're heavy. It's not because they did anything. It's because the kidney is messed up. And we find in the studies here that inflammation and oxidative stress with the renin angiotensin system being, you know, not working correctly because of the person, maybe has some pre-kidney issues or actually is on dialysis, is leading to excess atherosclerosis. And so we know when someone has metabolic syndrome or kidney problems at the same time and the renin angiotensin system's not working correctly, they end up being put on a bunch of blood pressure medications, they feel very sick, and inflammation and oxidative stress actually increase.
Okay, good. I understood that.
That's what's really happening. And so when you see people that are diabetic and maybe they have kidney problems too, you know, it's really, really terrible that the body is producing all these extra inflammatory components that are damaging the kidney. And when they damage the kidney, we're starting the blood pressure problem. And that's why you see typically when a person has kidney issues or they have the, you know, metabolic syndrome or, you know, they the pre-diabetes, that's why they need blood pressure medicine. That's why they need cholesterol medicine. That's why all these medicines come for a reason. And this is all because of the inflammation. If the inflammation wasn't present, none of this would be here.
So it looks like it's really important to treat inflammation regardless of what your condition may be in your body. And especially with our subject of detox, that it can interfere with your body detoxing as it should, which would lead to a greater buildup of toxic chemicals in your body.
Well, most definitely. All those things, it's a logical progression, but it's important that your listeners know that, you know, instead of feeling overwhelmed, realize that, you know, these things are working against you. And the best thing to do is maybe use some homeopathic stuff in the beginning to try and clear it out or, you know, make sure that you're on top of things because, unfortunately, your practitioner, your physician, he's just going to keep adding medicine. So that's and if you're trying to avoid that, you need to make sure you're addressing this, you know, in a top form and not just kind of putting it to the side. And like I said, inflammation can be silent. So you need to make sure that you're checking these numbers.
And what was the numbers again? You gave some letters earlier.
I would tell you the most important thing they can check is your CRP. But if you actually have inflammation and you're sore, that's a dead giveaway that you've got a real problem there. Especially
okay,
if it's on an ongoing basis, or even if someone, like, say someone's diagnosed with arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. It's not the arthritis that's going to get them. It's the cardiovascular disease. And so it's important to realize that these things go hand in hand with a lot of other diseases. And it's not like one thing's not connected to the other. Our body's contiguous, right? So like all the blood vessels are, connected
right.
to the other blood vessels. So it's not just like one area of your body. Anything that's not being treated and just maybe some simple homeopathy to prevent some of the problems associated with it make a huge difference in the long haul as far as the person's general health. That's very important to realize.
Good. When we come back from break, we'll talk more about the heart. We'll stop talking about inflammation and go back to the heart. I just am really interested in inflammation and how it contributes to detox. So when we come back, we'll talk with Pamela more about some other hidden dangers affecting your heart. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. We're talking about hidden dangers that can affect your heart. Pamela, are there some toxic chemicals that can affect your heart as well?
Well, yeah. Actually, there are neuroendocrine disruptors, okay, and these chemicals, and actually, too, electricity, and I'll pull the studies for that here. It was interesting when you look at the things and carbon monoxide, so let me pull these studies here. Okay, so the studies that they show as far as these are chemicals and things we're exposed to environmentally, and we'll talk a little bit more about different vitamins again after that. What they found, these are recent studies. What they found is that neuroendocrine disrupting chemicals, okay, that these act like estrogens and androgens and glucocorticoids in the body, but they're not really the actual chemical, okay? And these are found in industry, agriculture, food preservatives, and these all have problems where they affect the endocrine system, okay? They have activity on the same receptors as estrogens and testosterone and so forth. So if these things kind of look like the hormone and they're mimicking it, and they can cause sex hormone-dependent cancers, but especially Obesity and cardiovascular disease was implicated as far as if the people have high exposure to these particular things. And this is really important because what's happening is this is stuff that you don't realize you're being, you know, exposed mm-hmm. to. And the fact that they're docking in on the receptors and doing the same thing as the chemicals, but actually in a more dangerous way because they're not, you're not, your body's not expecting this to be present on the receptor. And all of a sudden it shows up and it has cardiovascular implications that are pretty severe. And definitely this is why we think that we're seeing a rise in cardiovascular disease here in the United States. It's not because people are eating more poorly. They always want to blame it on diet. It's not so much diet, but there are the neuroendocrine disruptors are really creating problems, and what they're finding in these people that are having huge amounts exposed to maybe the plasticizers and so forth, or they work in industry, what they're finding is that they have much higher rates of cardiovascular disease as a result of it. So this looks like it's statistically significant, and I thought this was interesting. Now, you would know about this quite more than myself because I'm more the chemistry person, but it looks like they looked at electrical staff, people that are working around electricity, and they found that electromagnetic fields had a higher incidence of cardiovascular disease. These people that were actually exposed to EMF fields of 50 hertz, it actually had almost the same effect as being exposed to chemicals.
Wow. Well, that's something that I need to look up and find out what would be a 50 hertz exposure. But that's something to keep in mind. You know,
it's affecting the nervous system. That's what they think.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of this is, you know, this is what they're studying to find out what are the effects. And this is all new. This is, you know, people weren't talking about these kinds of things even 10 years ago. So I'm really happy to see all this coming out. And then what about carbon monoxide?
Carbon monoxide, most definitely. So they found that exposure to carbon monoxide, you know, most people here in the United States, actually we're pretty fortunate. We don't have indoor kitchens where we're cooking food with, you know, twigs and stuff. But you have to realize that, you know, a third of the world does not have a toilet, does not have electricity, and they cook in an enclosed area in their house with wood that they gather. Okay, we have carbon monoxide exposure in varying degrees, maybe depending, you know, what we have burning in the house, you know, and also the fact that you know, we have carbon monoxide sensors in a lot of homes, and I actually have them in my house. So I mean, we know it can be a dangerous thing, but it's not as prevalent as perhaps other areas that they're much more poor than we are. But it's still very important. And this study did show that people that, especially they're working in kitchens and so forth, if it's enclosed and there's not proper ventilation, and this could even be in a house. You know, people sometimes they go crazy with it. They're cooking a lot of food on the stove. They're not having the windows open. Maybe it's a small home. Maybe it's a small kitchen. What they found is that carbon monoxide, when it started to be elevated to some degree, that they did the cardiac enzymes of these people, and they found that they were elevated. Not elevated enough to cause a heart attack, but there were mild elevations, which signaled that the heart was being damaged. Okay, and this makes sense because we know carbon monoxide, of course, you know, people that are trying, you know, suicide attempts and so forth, that's, you know, that you can kill yourself with this.
Right.
But you're exposed to small amounts of it when you're cooking and you're in your house, and it depends on the ventilation, and it depends on the size of the kitchen. You know, sometimes people have really small kitchens and there's not proper ventilation. You maybe will see this more in big cities. You know, here in Florida, we have pretty much bigger homes, but you think about New York and Boston, there's these tiny little apartments. You got to be very careful what you're doing.
Especially if you're cooking with gas. And that a gas burner will give off what's called combustion byproducts, and carbon monoxide is only one of them. And so if you're cooking with gas, it's really important to make sure that the burners are adjusted properly so that they are burning cleanly, and also that you have overhead hood ventilation, and you make sure that you turn it on when you're doing the cooking. Those two things will greatly reduce the amount of carbon monoxide, but you should also have a carbon monoxide detector, and this is a way to more safely use gas. But I know, like in some apartments, I've seen where there's a gas stove and then there's a closet with a gas water heater, and all these flames are just open flames, and all that carbon monoxide and other combustion byproducts are just going throughout your home. And so
you're absolutely right. People don't even look at that. You need to emphasize that. That is very common.
It's very common. And I know that also these things can go wrong. My grandmother had gas heat, And this was a long time ago. She had gas heat, and something went wrong with it, and it started putting carbon monoxide in her house, and she almost died.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this can happen. You know, even today, even with, you know, a lot of times, I know for myself, I have gas in two of my homes, and we have the water heaters need to be replaced, and the open flame was still there in the previous ones. Now, the new ones are up to code, but unless you actually go there and change it out, you don't see that.
That's right.
I mean, I had no idea.
I have a gas water heater, but it's one of those instant water heaters, you know?
So oh, yeah.
That's excellent. It's a tankless water heater. And it's mounted on the side of my house. And so there are gas exhaust fumes, but they go outside.
Very smart.
Instead, they're not in my house at all. They're not in the garage, not anywhere near the inside of my house or an open window. So
well, that's really true. But see, the interesting part about this little study here, and this was actually from April this year, that you know, the very, very small amounts of exposure to this were making small changes in the cardiac enzymes in the bloodstream. And they had very, very fine equipment to detect this. So, and cardiac enzymes, the reason why, like, let me explain, when you have enzymes and you can measure them in the bloodstream, it means that the cells died. Okay, so, and what we term that is, in a medical sense, is called cardiomyopathy, when the heart gets weakened because some of the cells die. And if you have enough cells dying, that's a heart attack. Right? Because a bunch of cells die, they release these cardiac enzymes, and that's how they diagnose heart attacks. A heart attack is basically a certain area of the heart basically dies, but then the muscle, especially because it's trying to overcompensate because that area is not pumping correctly anymore. So this is important to realize, that then the ventilation, these are really important things to look at your immediate environment and say, is this something that's affecting me?
Yeah. Yeah, there are also other health effects of combustion byproducts, and some of them cause cancer. So formaldehyde is one of them. And so this gas thing is a really important thing, and probably we should talk a lot more about that. Anyway, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld. And when we come back, we'll talk more about what you can do to protect your heart from these hidden dangers. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld. She's a registered pharmacist, but she also is a practitioner of pharmacognosy, which is the use of plants for medicinal purposes. Pamela, why don't you give your phone number again?
Yes. You can call me here at my homeopathic pharmacy. I would be very glad to help you and your family. Also, your pets, if you have any questions about them as well. The number here at Botanical Resource is 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955.
Great. And that's a free consultation. You can just call her up, and Pamela herself will talk to you. And she's very well regarded here. And I've taken some of her recommendations, and they've all turned out perfectly. So Pamela, we're in our last segment here.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us some of the remedies for these things? We've talked about so many problems.
Yeah. This is good. No, this is really good. So it looks like low vitamin D levels, and most people know that D is very important now. Low vitamin D levels were definitely putting people at risk for cardiovascular disease and also risk for developing metabolic syndrome. So it's important to realize that in the past, the doctors wanted your vitamin D level, you know, maybe 30 or something like that, you know, 20 to 30, something in that range. Well, now the alternative physicians and actually a lot of the medical establishment are really embracing that they want you closer to 100. So if your D levels are low, you definitely need to be taking more D to try and get that up. And it's very important. And this is a brand new study that just came out actually in August of this year. And it found that when people had poor vitamin D status, they were more at risk for developing metabolic syndrome and more at risk for having heart disease. So D is not just for the bones, and we've known that for a while. D is a hormone, and it acts in the brain. It works especially for depression, protects against depression and a lot of other things, but it looks like it has really strong implications in preventing against cardiovascular disease. So knowing where your concentration is really important. If you're going to do any blood work at all, you really need to have your D level made, and then you also, excuse me, you need to have your CRP done. That's very important. Those two things, the inflammation marker and the D level, tell a lot about what's going on in your body.
You know, even if I know that I've had difficulty sometimes getting a medical doctor to do some blood tests that I want, because they say, oh, well, we can only request what the insurance company will allow us to request for your diagnosis. But there are places online, it's very easy to get all these tests, and you could just go to one of those online places and get a vitamin D test. There's a whole organization that all they do is vitamin D tests. So just, you don't have to be dependent on a medical doctor to get blood tests and find out what's going on with your body.
That's a very good point, because I'm sure some people that don't have a regular doctor feel pretty helpless when they listen to these things, that, you know, they don't want to go to the doctor, they don't want to have a blood test with a regular doctor, and the fact that they have other alternatives and they're not forced to have an office visit, that's very relieving for a lot of people.
Yes, and if you think this is going to cost a lot of money, just go look and see what it costs, because when I went to those websites to see, it costs much less than I thought it was going to. So
most definitely.
It is an option for you. You don't need to go to the doctor to get a blood test. Okay, go on.
Okay, so another really interesting thing, and I don't know if people really would have thought about this, but it looks like women, just being a woman, puts you more at risk for vascular problems, blood vessel problems, inflammation, heart cardiovascular disease, all of these. And we see that the prevalence is really related to women. And what's happening is, and a lot of times it's being linked to arterial stiffness, and we're talking about the artery stiffness, okay, and lipid disorders, which is like the elevated blood lipids, and in correlation with this, any kind of sleep apnea that's untreated. So the sleep seems to have a big effect on this. And what we were talking previously about the fish oil, the new study just showed in July of this year that fish oil plus vitamin E lowered LDL cholesterol, and it lowered oxidative stress. And it also helped for prevention of cardiovascular disease. So some low-dose vitamin E, the fish oil, and the fact that this is really important that we're talking to the implications for women, because it seems like the woman gender has more chance of this being a problem than men. And that's important to realize, and especially peri- and postmenopausal, more so, because that's when the hormones start changing, and that's when the adipose tissue in the abdomen tends to start really being active with the inflammatory components, right? Because when you think about women, they go through menopause, and then they all of a sudden they have all this little fat in the middle, right? The little rolls in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's a new onset for them. Maybe they were thin all their lives, and all of a sudden they have fat in the middle. And it's not because their diet changed. It's a lot of it's decreases of estrogen, but also the fact that if that happens, those cells, remember, start making more inflammatory components and actually make you gain more weight. And that, I think that's a lot of what's going on in menopause. It's not just estrogen decrease. There's increased inflammatory markers in a lot of middle-aged women that's causing a lot of these problems.
You know, now that you brought that up, I just want to mention one thing about that, and that is that weight has been an issue for me my whole entire life. I don't think that I've ever been what one would call normal weight. I was born overweight. And so it's always been a struggle. And I've always had, you know, weight around the middle, and no matter what I did. But now I'm older. I've said several times on the show that I had my 60th birthday this year, and I'm doing different things. And two things that I'm doing that are very different is that I'm eating a tremendous amount more fiber than I ever have in my life. And I really actually calculated out how much fiber I was eating and found some high fiber foods. And I'm eating those high fiber foods like with every meal. Like I really, really upped the
good
fiber.
Good for you.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm doing is that I'm walking in a pool at a gym 3 or 4 or 5 days a week. And I'm only walking like about 40 minutes, but I'm really walking, and I'm doing things to have more resistance, like keeping my fingers together on my hands so that they're more like paddles, you know. And my fat around the middle is reducing.
Good for you. Well, most definitely. Those things will work.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, I think that one of the things that's really been impressing upon me this week is that there really are things, actions, that that produce effects, that when we take an action, they do, it does something for better or worse. Rarely does an action do nothing. And so if we want to do something in a particular direction, if we know what those actions are and do them, we'll move in that direction. It's just like if you want to walk down the street and get to the next block, you just put one foot in front of the other and you're going to get there. It's just very predictable.
Well, you're absolutely right. Those small changes do help.
Yeah, if you walk backwards, you're not going to get to where you want to go. So just being aware, I mean, we've talked about a lot of things today that might sound scary, but just being aware of the things that are the negative things and saying, what can I do about those? And knowing what are the positive things, like taking supplements or some homeopathic remedies or things like that, and actually doing those things that move you forward, that's where you have control over what your health is going to be.
Most definitely. And these are some simple things. We were talking about vitamin D. We were talking about E. We were talking about, you know, looking at the carbon monoxide release in your house and what's the net amount that's there. Also, too, I found some studies here, and we've kind of talked about this in the past, but folic acid status is very, very important. So folic acid really has always been implicated in preventing against cardiovascular disease. And the big things that it's doing, okay, it's playing a role in preventing any kind of the damage on the blood vessels themselves and in the heart, okay? But also what's interesting is that we've known this for a long time that vitamin folic acid and B vitamins are associated with lowering homocysteine. And homocysteine is a marker in the bloodstream. That's another blood test that you can also order, the homocysteine level. And homocysteine is really a marker of, inflammation, more so though for cardiovascular outcomes. It's not necessarily an inflammatory marker per se, but when we see homocysteine elevated, the physician in turn will be concerned about what's going on specifically with the body. And homocysteine, especially if somebody has cardiovascular disease in their family, if it's elevated even mildly, that's normally a red flag that they're going to be at risk for a heart attack. So homocysteine comes down very, very nicely and reproducibly with folic acid, maybe some pyridoxine, a little bit of B12. And I use a formula that I love a lot that's really good called CardioB, and that's got 5 milligrams of folic acid. It's got 100 of pyridoxine and 1,000 of B12. It's great for energy. It's great for mental health because, you know, folic acid, high dose folic acid binds to serotonin in the brain, but it has really reproducible effects of lowering homocysteine really, really thoroughly in the body. And that's an easy, inexpensive way to get homocysteine down and in turn lower your risk.
Good. These are all really good suggestions. We've only got about a minute left. So any final words on this?
Most definitely. Last of the studies that I found was in July 22nd, in 2015 of this year, melatonin in the endoplasmatic reticulum, okay, and what it affects. And melatonin, our levels of melatonin, melatonin is an antioxidant, it's anti-inflammatory, it has anti-tumor effects. It's not just for sleep. So it's really important, and melatonin is a very safe supplement to take if you're having any sleep disturbances. And this really, they looked at sleep disturbances and instability in sleep. And nighttime instabilities were very much associated with cardiovascular outcomes in a poor way. So
yeah.
Melatonin, it looks like that we see the people, if their melatonin levels are coming at the right time and they're a high peak in the bloodstream, and this can be obtained.
And I have to interrupt you because we just ran out of time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest was Pamela Seafeld. And you can find out more about our guests past, present, and future at ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. Be well.